Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Man's Voice. And I would like to start out by saying, please hang in with us. We do have some technical issues going on, which is not unusual for things these days. A lot of issues go on with technology. But we have one of the guys on, so it's just two of us on at the moment. Don't know where all the other guys are. They might be stuck out in technical land somewhere trying to get in. All right. Well, Ron is on. So, Ron, let's just have a conversation between you and us at the moment,
like we usually do anyway. I'm sure. Well, maybe they're listening to us, so that might be interesting. But like I was saying to you before the start of the show, there's a lot going on. I haven't really been keeping in tune with the news this past weekend or over the weekend, but I know there's stuff with the primaries and, you know, elections and Trump and all of that.
Well, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No. I was going to say, let's start off something a little different this time. Somebody just won over $1 billion from the lottery. If you won $1 billion, what would you be doing with it right now? And you would have got $700 million. What would you be doing?
So I've always said, or at least lately, that I would like to purchase a big plot of land somewhere and turn it into an animal sanctuary. For all different kinds of animals, kind of like Best Friends Animal Society. I don't know if you've heard of that one, but I think it's in Utah somewhere. But and then just hire staff to take care of the animals, and just all kinds of animals, from horses to donkeys to, I mean, dogs, cats, whatever, that need our help. And I think that's what I would do. And I would also I know it's not a ton of money, but I would also like to see if I could help with the famine and the water situation in the parts of the world that are really struggling to you know, the malnutrition is an issue for a huge percentage of the world's population. And I know that there's not a lot that I could do with $700 million, but I'm sure that I could help in some ways. So I would try to figure out what I could do.
There's a lot you could do with $700 million. Is that Michael? Did you come in? Or is that you on the line? I got a 213-2035 last four. I don't know who that is, but anyway. All right.
What would you do?
Once again, pardon me, what would I do? Well, I'd probably do some investing, look at some investing, try to do some, you know, helping out the family for one, and then basically start a investment into the entertainment world. So I'd probably start a record label or concert label or some concert production or something like that. But then again, I would start the new Motown. And then I would try to do a franchisee of bakeries across the nation, across, you know, United States, like something like Panera Bread, but a little different, more classy, more classed up. That's what I would do.
So you wouldn't try to do anything to help any people or any animals or anything?
Well, I would put money in an account to help people. That, you know, that's something I think I've put on this earth to do, which I've done all my life. So I probably put, you know, I would probably help those. There's so many homeless, so I'd probably spend a lot of money on how do I help homeless people and people during these times trying to pay their bills and things like that. But it would have to be, you have to do a whole lot of research. Pardon me?
Yeah, there's even homeless families with kids, lots of them, which is, like, really sad. But even in this country, you know, not supposedly, but we are the most powerful and the best country in the world. And it's sad to see that there's still people that don't have a place to call home and people with kids. And it's, you know, I know that we can do better than that.
Yeah, I'm sure we can. But, you know, I think your idea, helping animals, is also a very great idea, because there are so many people who don't have that knowledge, you know, who are not into that kind of thing. But we enjoy animals, but we don't help them. They do a lot for us, actually.
Yeah, and the thing is, I mean, here where I live, it's becoming more and more prevalent that people are dumping their dogs. And who knows what they do with the cats. Mm. But, you know, dogs that people just find roaming the streets and they don't belong to anybody. So I've heard that what people do, because, you know, this isn't an affluent area, but it's middle class. But, you know, there's a less affluent, like maybe lower, not even lower middle class, but whatever comes below that next to us here. And, you know, people are struggling with the prices of things. And so if they have dogs that they can't take care of, I've been told that they're coming into this neighborhood and just, you know, dropping them off because they know that somebody's going to find them and take care of them, basically.
Cities who pick up the homeless and drop them in different cities. I've seen that going on. I saw that going on in Miami,
illegal,
actually.
I think.
Well, not really. Well,
yeah.
People have tried to pass laws to stop that. The cities have, but, you know, it has to be the state to pass the law, because there's no federal law against that right now.
Oh, actually, where you used to work, Virginia Key, they approved a plan to set up an encampment there for homeless on Virginia Key, which will be interesting, because all the rich people have to drive right by there to get to their fancy Key Biscayne. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, but most people don't understand how big Virginia Key is. I mean, the part where people go in and enjoy the beach is not the whole thing. There's another section that would work well in, actually. Because you wouldn't want tourists.
Maybe that's why they're doing it there.
So. Yeah.
No, but, you know, they could always find their way down to the roadway, unless it's like a jail and they're kind of, you know, enclosed in by fencing or something. They can't leave, which would be not good, because that would be like incarcerating, you know, humans just for the fact that they don't have a place to live.
True.
So where is everybody?
I don't know. It looks like they might be stuck trying to get in or not. I have one other phone that's in, but it's in 213 area code, but I don't think it's Michael, because he didn't say anything. So I don't know the answer to that question.
If
they called a regular number, it would be coming in. Yeah. 299-2293.
Or maybe you can send them a text.
That's the number you called. Well, I'm
send
on
them a text
phone.
To call in by on their phone.
Well, I think that's how most of them call in. So I'm gonna send a text. Where are you? Hope we don't lose you.
So what's going on in the world the past couple of days besides, you know, the heat wave and the weather and all of that?
There was a city in Texas that's now giving everybody who turned their guns in $200. And I thought, that's a great idea. What if the federal government should do something like that, huh?
Why would people turn in their gun for only $200?
Well, the people who are, maybe we should talk about a number that would get people, you know, psyched up to do it.
And plus, the people that use the guns to commit crimes, they're not going to, that's their livelihood. They're not going to turn it in for $200. I've heard of those programs, you know, the buyback guns programs. It's not the first time they're doing it, but I don't see how it works. I mean, but maybe I'm just too skeptical.
Well, I think we need to get some guns off the street, and I think that's a way. What other way could we do it? I mean, well, maybe more money. I don't know.
Well, the thing is, you know, like I've said in other shows, I mean, I think in this country we're past that point of no return. There's a text coming through. Oh, that's you. I think we're past the point of no returns in terms of number of guns that are out there. I think it's impossible to get to a zero starting point again. It's just impossible. I mean, that's never going to happen. So we're always going to have issues with gun violence, unfortunately. And, you know, with mental instability, it's probably going to get worse.
True. Okay. So Jeremiah just came in. Hello, Jeremiah.
Good evening.
Hey, Jeremiah.
We're having technical issues, so I'm just doing it through my phone, but, you know, I'm glad you came in. You got my email, so then you came back in, right? You just dialed the regular number?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's good.
Do you usually call in, Jeremiah?
Are we live or?
We're still live on the air, yes.
Okay.
We're not going through my computer. We're going through my phone. But I can see on the computer who everybody's calling in, who calls in when they call in and everything. So, okay, now 4249 just called in, which is Soel. Hello, Soel. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I'm sorry. We're having technical issues, so I'm going through my phone, not through the computer. The computer crashed at the last minute, but we're still moving on. But I have a couple of questions because Jeremiah just pulled in and you just pulled in, but I have a question for each of you. And the thing is, we just had a $1 billion lottery winner in Illinois, but if you had won the lottery, to start with Jeremiah, if you had won the lottery, what would you do with that money, Jeremiah? Well, first of all, let me tell the world, Jeremiah is one of the best young businessmen I know who's out there struggling to get businesses off the ground and things like that. So I would love to hear what he would do. I know that he'd do an investment. He would be billionaire plus rich by the time he finished. But anyway, Jeremiah, what would you do with the money if you had won? Hello?
I,
oh, there you are.
Yeah, you can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I tend to like service-based businesses. Probably would purchase a conglomerate service-based business nationwide, service-based business. That would be one thing.
On the business, it might cost you that much, but anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'll say number one, I mean, you always look at in the foreseeable future, the way things are going as far as a multitude of things. But the number one business that's that's on the horizon, I would say, which is, I wouldn't say like recession proof, or just you're looking at a large increase from, you know, the next 5 to 10 years will be electrical. And I'll give you one good reason really quick. We're looking at going all electric. We're producing and producing more and more electric vehicles and trucks and tractor trailers as such. So they have large incentive programs for companies to install electrical charging stations almost everywhere. And then also for another example, everything just going to electrical billboards, menus in your drive-through menus. Matter of fact, if you go inside Walgreens, now they have it where the display kind of goes dim and comes back up, and it shows you what you have in the cooler behind the full touchscreen display. So it's a lot of things. So electrical would be number one for me.
All right. Would you do anything for the world other than yourself?
I'm a big.
For example, homeless people, pets, or something like that. What would you do? Anything you would do that way?
Definitely. I'm big on recycling and saving the world, I would say. So. I'll probably have some efforts in saving our planet as far as recycling. And then also, you know, like down here in Miami, they're trying to bring something together to build a – we already have it, where they have shelters and shelterage for the population, the homeless population, but the homeless population is ever-growing. And then a lot of different states send their homeless population down to Miami because they tell them, hey, they have more resources. And quite honestly, it's a lot easier to make it. I'd rather probably be 80, 85 degrees hot than to be, you know, negative 30 in some other state, really cold. So, but absolutely. I did that. While in college, I gave back to my community as far as homeless, feeding the homeless. Now it's a bigger picture as far as shelter.
All right. Well, that's two of us who said homeless, doing homeless. So, El, if you had won the $1 billion lottery, you would have came up with over $700 million. What would you be doing with your funds?
Well, there's too much to name, but, you know, pay off some credit card debt, get my sister
right,
and her
right.
kids out here. She lives in Belize, and, you know, they have a little bit of a hard life out there, somewhat third world conditions. Buy a multi-acre ranch, live in the country, invest in real estate, business, Jeremiah said, electric vehicles and new technology really is going to be a way of the future. The easiest way, how you're going to secure a long-lasting future for yourself and your family is to make that $700 million into $2 billion, $3 billion-plus. Subchapter Corporation for my family, so we're taken care of through multiple generations. And, you know, some lavish luxuries. I mean, I would like to have a nice little car, a nice watch, and just be able to do things. If I want to go to Japan, just do it, book the plane ticket the next day and go to the airport tomorrow.
You know, most of the audience don't know, but you're the young guy on the panel, one of the most brilliant. But the question is, you're in college. What's your major?
I do political science.
Political science. And do you plan to run for office one day?
Maybe. It just,
I mean, long-term
depends
in
on how I live my life. Like, it's not for everyone, and I've met people that have been, like, mayors and governors before, and, like, you make a lot of sacrifices. Like, do you want to be in that situation? I just have to decide that, especially when I get older.
Right. Right. All right. Sounds good. Great. All right, Ron, you and I were talking earlier about this, and we did our thing. The one thing that is coming up, we were talking about so well in Jeremiah that there was a city in Texas who now, if you will turn your gun in, they will give you a credit card for $200. Do you think, Jeremiah, do you think that's something the nation should pick up on, like the federal government? According to Ron, $200 isn't enough money to convince people who are robbing banks and stuff to turn their guns in. What are your thoughts, Jeremiah?
Yeah, I don't think that's a significant number. Something is better than nothing. Beggars can't be choosers. Now, you'll have a fair share of people that will enact on that amount. And then you have a fair share, which is a larger fair share, that won't, because $200, it's not something that somebody can really pay a bill with. They can barely pay a bill with that, or if things are running tight, to make them think about, you know, like trading in their gun, taking guns off the street. I mean, that's a start. I think that they should definitely offer more. I wouldn't do it if I had a few weapons laying around, because you got to think about how much those things cost, man.
Right. Yeah. How about you, Soel? What do you think? That's a good plan and something maybe the federal government should pick up on and offer more money or something?
Personally, I really don't think it's going to be useful, because the majority of gun owners in this country are Second Amendment supporters. I mean, I haven't met a liberal gun controlling person who proposes buybacks that wants, that owns a weapon. So if they do a buyback program and they invest all this money into it, there's going to be hardly anybody that's going to support it or even give their weapon away, because again, the people that usually own guns in this country and own a lot of them are the ones that support the Second Amendment. And like, by my cold dead hands, they're not going to give their weapons to the government for money or anything else.
They mistrust the government too, a lot of them.
That's also a reason.
Right. Right. All right. Let's move on with Jeremiah. Is there something you want to talk about this week?
I'm probably later on in the show, sports, man.
Well, go ahead. What do you sports? You want to talk about something in sports? Go ahead. I'm not sure.
No, just
we can all answer your questions.
Oh.
We did lose
just
somebody.
Want to give, who did we lose?
You're not getting the news, sir?
Oh, no, yeah. Sure. No, I thought you were saying that we lost somebody like on line with us, one of our panelists. Yes.
No.
I saw that in the news. The great Bill. And our condolences go out to his family. And they put a statement out that he had a peaceful death, something to that nature. He was 88 years old. But yes, I just wanted to take time to give kudos to the University of Miami. The way they're ramping up recruiting efforts, changing the whole dynamic of the university as far as the football program, and they're actually implementing a more strategic way of improving the baseball team, the basketball team, and also the football team, women's basketball as well. I'm a big Miami Hurricane fan. And probably almost every show you guys get out of me saying, hey, go Canes, and the U is back, stuff like that. But we're doing a pretty good job recruiting. We're top 10 recruiting. We have a lot of the talent that's in Florida, you know, Alabama got a taste of it and took our guys, Clemson. Any other teams that won championships in the last 10 years, you can see how many Florida players they had on their teams. So now that University of Miami can retain our Florida players that has all that speed, all the great wide receivers you saw from Clemson and Alabama, those guys are from Florida, which is ridiculous. And we're talking about name after name. I would say probably about 6 wide receivers. All those dynamic wide receivers that went to Alabama were all from Florida. About 4 dynamic wide receivers that went to Clemson were all from Florida. So it's about retaining our championship caliber athletes. And even if they stay here in Florida and not go to UM, but go to some other Florida schools, that'll be great.
Hey, Jeremiah. When do the college football preseason rankings come out?
I think they're already out. Yes, because we're talking about 4 weeks now. Well, it's the first game. It's 4 or 5 weeks from now is the first game because practice starts next week.
Okay.
Yeah, practice starts next week. And I know early September is like the first game. Usually it's like September 5th, September 9th, September 10th, the latest.
Go ahead.
If I'm not mistaken, I think we're in the teens. I can't remember exactly because I've been paying attention to other things. I don't really care about the ranking. I care about us, you know, recruiting and going out there and winning. Because if you win or you beat those important teams, you'll be ranked regardless. But I think we're between 13 and 18, something in between there.
Uh-huh.
The preseason ranking.
I'm looking it up to see if I could find it.
Great. But I think for a first-year head coach, what do you see?
I see – I got pro football. Let me type in college. Maybe that'll help.
Yeah, football, even pros is starting back up, man.
Alabama, Ohio, you know, the usual suspects, Alabama, Ohio State, Georgia, Clemson, Texas A&M, Michigan, Notre Dame, Utah, Oregon, Baylor's 10, and let me see the whole list here. Miami is that didn't come up. That's weird. Okay, here we go. Well, that's weird. It's not coming up. Preseason, it says preseason top 25 rankings, bowl projections, but there's no link to the list.
Gotcha. We're about to find out for real in a few, though, honestly. Once these games, because I think our third or fourth week we're playing Texas A&M. So we'll see what kind of mustard we got on our hot dogs.
So there's something wrong with this story. Every time I click on the link, it takes me back to, this is kind of stupid.
All right, guys, while you guys are doing that, I just saw a memo that come in that said that Houston police chief is declaring that the gun buyback program was very successful because they only did it on one day, and they received 800 weapons on that one day. That's interesting.
I mean, if you're getting any guns off the street, it's a success, to be honest with you. So, yeah, of course, it was a success, and I commend them for doing it. But, hey, you got to test your water and see what kind of traction you get, and that's what he did for $200.
Hey, Jared,
I guarantee you, if it would have been about $400 or $500, they would have got about 1,800 guns.
This is interesting, Jeremiah. I looked at the whole top 25 list on the Sporting News, and Miami's not on here.
Is that the coaches poll or?
No, this is, let's see what poll this is.
You got the AP and you got the coaches.
This is Sporting News top 25.
Yeah, so we don't really go by those guys. It's either the AP or the coaches, the vote, coaches vote or the AP, you know?
Yeah, I'm trying to find that.
But that's probably like an ESPN or CBS kind of ranking everybody, you know, giving their input. But I think I haven't heard of – go ahead, David.
No, go ahead.
No, I say I haven't heard of any buybacks locally, or probably just not hearing it in the news or whatnot. Usually, when a lot of shootings ramp up, that's when usually it happens. They say that they're doing something. You know, the politicians are pushing the departments to do something. They say that they're actually being proactive with the gun violence and stuff like that. But I think it should be ongoing. It should be grant funded to be ongoing, you know.
All right, gentlemen, I would like to ask a question and get your answers on this. And the question is, do you feel that in the United States, colleges and universities put more money into athletics than academics? And do you think that's something wise, or that we should change that? Or do you think that we don't know, or what do you think? Let me ask, start off with Soel. What are your thoughts on that?
I do feel that a lot of colleges, especially public ones, put a lot more effort into sports than in academics. Private universities like Yale and Princeton, they do focus on academics much more, and they also have a long alumni base that donates hundreds of thousands of dollars, sometimes millions of dollars a year. So they can be focused on that aspect. But most Americans that get a full college scholarship, in many cases, it's going to be at a public university. And most athletes, they only use the university as a stepping stone to get to the professional league. So I think it's really important that we do support people in public colleges and universities and ensure that there is enough resources there. Because in many cases, and I speak from experience, they cater so much towards the athletics, a lot of the academic programs do suffer. So I think that's something that should be addressed.
What are your thoughts, Ron? University of Miami. I know you went there.
My thoughts are a little bit different, Joel, because I, and by the way, I'm sure a lot of people think University of Miami is public, and it's not. It's actually a private school, and they've invested millions and millions and millions on sports, but for good reason, because it generates, you know, multiple times what they invest in sports in the form of, you know, endorsements and sponsorships and, you know, even large donors that give to the university more when the teams are winning. So I've seen it, you know, I've seen it happen when the donations actually, you know, decrease when sports are, in particular, like at University of Miami, the focus or the main one, I guess, is the men's football team. When they're not doing good, you know, the stadiums are half empty, and donors, you know, unless they're really altruistic and really philanthropic, you know, sometimes donations go down. So, it's like a double-edged sword, I guess. It, like everything in life, it's got pros and cons.
And
right,
Ron, add to that,
for example, the TV deals. I mean, University of Miami, you don't have the benefit of being in the SEC, but we're talking about just one TV deal alone pays for everything that university could think about doing for that year. So that's why the SEC, the Alabamas of the world, the Florida Gators of the world, you can look at their campuses, look at what they offer their athletes, look at where their athletes sleep, what they eat, what they're able to afford, which is bar none compared to the rest of college football. You got a few other schools out there that are pretty big, like TCU out in Texas, that put a lot of money into their sports program or football team. But yeah, man, the deals just to if you're winning or even if you're subpar and you guys are causing noise, man, we're talking about $80 million a year. That's a lot of money.
Wow. All right. Jeremiah, you got any? You said later in the show you might come up with something. You got about 20 minutes to go. Is it something you want to talk about?
Oh, it's still sports. I mean, just going back to, are we going to have a sports segment today or no?
No. Spencer is, he's at the end of being a dad, so. He's right around in that, so he might not be able to get in today.
Gotcha. So yeah, man.
Well,
go ahead.
No, I was gonna say. Well, while you thinking, let's ask Soel. Do you have something you'd like to bring to the table?
What I have to bring?
Would you like to bring something else to the table?
Well, I want to talk about something that we kind of went over a little bit, but I'm sure a lot of you know Bill Russell did die today, and I have such respect for the man for all that he did for civil rights and advancing the league. I mean, I actually love him much more than modern NBA players or players from the 80s or the 90s, but I just want to ask everybody, like, what celebrity death really hits you the hardest?
Can I weigh in on that, David?
There was another celebrity death today, also Nichelle Nichols from Star Trek, Lieutenant Uhura.
I think Michael is on, David.
He died also. Yes, I hear.
I think Michael is on.
So, Michael.
Big Mike.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, David. Sorry for calling in so late, guys. To answer your question, the celebrity death that hit me the hardest was Michael Jackson. When Michael Jackson died back in 2009, 2010, I think it was, that really, really affected me because he was such an icon. Not to mention him growing up, my name was Michael, so he was the hottest thing going when I was growing up, him and Michael Jordan. So it was just so cool growing up being named Michael because I had this huge icon like Michael Jackson to look up to and reference. So rest in peace, Bill Russell. Yeah, that was really sad. I'm so sorry to hear he was such an icon. But to answer your question, so it was Michael Jackson.
And then what about surprise death? What about surprise death, guys?
What about what?
Death? Michael.
Oh, when I was surprised that someone died, the surprise death to me that probably affected me, like, wow, I can't believe that person died. I would probably have to go with Prince. When Prince died, that one really surprised me and affected me. I couldn't believe Prince. He didn't seem sick. He didn't seem ill in any way, form, or fashion. So Prince.
Wow.
I would say my surprise death would be Kobe. My surprise death.
I was going to say Kobe too.
Don't laugh at me, guys. But the one that impacted me the most is Betty White. I mean, rest in peace, Betty White. But it really did.
Oh, no.
It really did impact me.
Well, I know that she was an animal lover, and so are you. So was that one of the reasons?
Yeah, and she was just a good around, you know, good lady, good heart, good person. Like all of the ones that we've named when I found out about it, I was like, no, I couldn't believe it, you know.
Wow.
Okay, Michael, before you came, we were asking some other questions. Let me throw you in by asking, like, for example, the $1 billion that somebody won, or the $700 million that they got, if you had won that, what would you be doing with the funds?
I would have donated probably 50% of it to the BLM movement, and probably spread out to about a good maybe 10% of it to political campaigns to get some more far-left liberals elected to office. And I, of course, would take very good care of my mother, make sure my mother, my entire family, for that matter, if I had that kind of cash, were good. And I probably would spend a week in a hotel room in Vegas with a bunch of hookers.
Oh, my God. Okay. Spencer, you're on. If you had won
Michael,
the money, would you be doing the same thing?
Something like that, you know. I would definitely set up a charity, you know, in my mother's name, you know, for cancer research and stuff like that. You know, my family getting splurged on, you know, my immediate family, everybody, we're going away, we private jets everywhere, back to back, you know, and the rest, you know, just try to put into a business, you know, and try to create some generational wealth and you know, campaigns and stuff. Hey, I might go into politics. Who knows? I might win something. But yeah, I'll go stupid crazy.
All right. Do you have anything? Because you know we have people asking about sports. Can you things you want to bring to the table in sports?
Well, the biggest thing that kind of happened over the week was. And it really upset me was Julio Jones going to the Tampa Bay with Tom Brady. It just really just irks my nerves with this guy and his team. You know, I just feel like they always put everybody around Tom Brady just so he could just win and win again. But, you know, training camp has started. Preseason is about to start. So we're back, you know, tomorrow is, you know, football month. So it's just – It's just exciting, you know. I'm getting there right now. How, you know, football is back, and we get to watch some of these games and somehow see how these teams come out with all these different quarterbacks. We're interested to see how Deshaun Watson still haven't been punished by the league yet. Not sure if he will be. You know, I'm thinking now that they're just trying to sweep that kind of under the rug. It played out how it played out. I don't think they want to have any more to do with it. Just keep it out of the headlines, but so far the league haven't punished him yet. So that will be something to see in the coming weeks. Maybe they are, but that was one of the biggest things. We had some UFC matches last night. You know, Amanda Nunes, she won her belt back. You know, we all know the shocker today with Bill Russell that he passed. And something I found out about him that I didn't know he was a player coach. And as a player coach, I didn't know he was technically the first black coach of any major sport. Days, and this was, I think it was 66 or 67, you know, so that was a major feat at that time, you know, for a black man to be coach of a major of a major sporting team, you know, United States. So that was very interesting to know about him. And also, we all know he won 11 rings, 8 straight with the Boston Celtics. So rest in peace to Bill Russell.
All right. So, Michael, what did you want to bring to the table for the panelists to discuss?
Oh, well, thanks for calling on me, David. Well, there's so much going on. I don't know if you guys covered the whole monkeypox situation or not, but I just want to throw my 2 cents. I'm starting to get a little nervous about the monkeypox because it spread to 2 cities that I have relatives and I'm close to, one being Los Angeles, my home, the second being Atlanta, Georgia, down there where you guys are, David. It spread very heavy in both of those cities through the African-American community. So I'm a little nervous about it because I went online and I saw how it does people, and it looks bad the way it breaks people's face out and stuff, and it's got one person's eye halfway closed. So I'm just worried about the monkeypox, just where's these viruses coming from and why are they coming so rapidly right now?
Isn't it considered a sexual STD, actually?
Yeah, I mean, that's how they all start, though, right? Like, that's how it's starting, but they don't know. I don't think there's enough research in. They're saying that now, but I saw some cases where little kids had them, like young children too young to be sexually active.
Right.
I saw what they had monkeypox, so you never know.
Right, because that's one of the things that parents are complaining about. If it's an STD, and how are the little kids getting it?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay. Anything else you want to bring to the table? Any questions? Anybody want to jump in with this?
I want to. Is Darius or Bruce on or no?
No. Bruce is not on. He's traveling on a train somewhere.
Oh, okay. And Darius Ivan, so neither one of my Republican counterparts are on?
Right.
Okay, well, even without them there, we can talk about the January 6th committee and what's going on with Donald Trump. I mean, I think the fire is really getting closer to Donald Trump. From what it sounds like now, the Department of Justice, meaning Merrick Garland, announced it looks like there is an open investigation into Donald Trump. So I think he's going to be indicted at this point. And I think after he's indicted, that's really going to upset the right, his base. The same way the overturning of Roe v. Wade has upset the left and that base. So I just think we're itching closer and closer towards a civil war in this country. And I think if Donald Trump gets indicted, I think that's going to be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Anybody else got any comments on that?
I think you're right, Michael. They were talking in the news today about for the Republicans, you know, they still see as Donald Trump as the leader. And in the early polls, he's like 35%, and so is Biden. So, I can't imagine Donald Trump running again, but I wouldn't put it past him. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's the Republican nominee for president in 2024 again. Pardon the French, the crap hits the fan, like it's looking more and more like it will, but who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm not a Republican, of course, Ron, but I hope it's DeSantis on the right. I hope it's Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida. And on the left, I hope it's Governor Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. I would like to see two younger guys with positions on both sides battle it out, as opposed to the two old guys, Biden versus Trump. And, you know, Biden's got COVID, and for the second time, I don't think he's got the wherewithal to run again, Joe Biden. And I know Kamala Harris couldn't do it. So in my perfect world, it would be Gavin Newsom versus Ron DeSantis.
I like that scenario.
Michael, let's ask a question. Most people don't know that you actually were part of her campaign putting together when she was in California running for office there. Why did you just say you don't think she would be good at it or she wouldn't get it?
Well, and keep in mind, as you said, David, yes, I was a strong surrogate for her here in California when she ran for Attorney General of California before she was a senator. I met her and became close friends with her back in 2010. So I'm kind of biased in my answers towards her because I am a personal friend of hers and I do support her. But I just don't think she's doing a good job as vice president, and I hate to say that. And once again, I'm speaking as someone who loves her to death. So I could just imagine how the right feels about her and how they tear her apart. She's just an empty suit, and I hate to say that. She's not governing in any way. She doesn't have any input in towards the administration. Every time she's asked a serious question, she breaks out into this joker-like laugh and just starts laughing. So I just don't see her being – she's not fit for the job. I think she'll be a historical figure. Obviously, she'll get post offices and schools named after her, first female VP, of course, blah, blah, blah. But I just don't think she's even interested in governing anymore. I think she's happy to be this iconic figure that she will always be. And I honestly don't think she'll run, David, to be honest with you. And if she does run, I think she'll get beat pretty badly. So that's why I just don't support her anymore in government.
All right. Anybody else got any thoughts on that?
Well, I want to make a comment. I think that if Trump and Biden don't run, and it's almost certain that Biden will run again, even though the party doesn't want him to, and Trump will run again, even though about a good one-third of the party doesn't want him to, Ron DeSantis is likely the next youngest choice. Personally, I don't think that Gavin Newsom will do that well if he runs, because California does have that reputation of being like the really bad drug addict homeless state where people will shoot up heroin in front of your $3,000 apartment and the police don't do anything about it, record shoplifting in San Francisco. I really think that he will get burned for that. When he was releasing ads in Florida and Texas, a lot of people were talking about you can't even manage the problems in your own state, and yet you're complaining about what they're doing in Florida and Texas. I think Kristen Gillibrand in New York or someone else will probably be a good choice. I think the senators from Georgia, Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, I think they're very good choices as well. But why are we even talking about hypotheticals? We already know it's going to be Trump and Biden again.
Hey, right. Sorrell, if I may, if no one else wants to weigh in, Sorrell, I disagree with you because historically speaking, and I hate to play this card, but the handsome white guy always wins, and there's no one more handsome white guy in politics than Gavin Newsom. Think John F. Kennedy. You know, the good-looking white guy always takes it, and I think everything you said is negative towards Gavin Newsom. I think it's going to go out the window once the whole world sees that gorgeous smile of his. Think Bill Clinton once again. So I don't know. I just disagree with you on that. Unfortunately, we're a narcissistic sort of country, like the selfies generation, and they're just going to eat up that Gavin Newsom face when they see it. That pretty boy smile is going to go a long way for him.
I agree with you. I think his looks are something that he has looking for him, but unlike Gavin Newsom, Bill Clinton and John F. Kennedy did have a really good track record, and when Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas and attorney general, he did a lot to clean up the state. And right now, California really isn't looking that way. I mean, like, yeah, he can point out his looks, but I'm pretty sure, like, if he runs on his record, it's not really going to be that good.
All right. Anyone else? Spencer, where are you? You have anything you would like to discuss with the panel? Okay. Did his wife go in the hospital already? All right. So, Michael, tell us something we want to talk about.
Okay, yeah. It's getting really hot everywhere across the world. I think global warming is serious, so I'm glad that Joe Manchin's finally on board. That's the senator from West Virginia with this piece of Joe Biden's agenda to help combat climate change. I think climate change is getting real. The ice is melting. It's getting hotter. I think we're in a lot of trouble as far as the climate is concerned. I just wish the Republican Party would get more on board and get supportive of climate change, because I don't think we're going to have a world to pass on to the next two generations at the rate we're going right now. So, Matt Sorrell, you're the young guy. What are your thoughts on climate change?
I think that climate change is definitely real, and I think, you know, things are obviously different when you look at the Arctic and the ice caps and the polar bears, the rainforest. But it just has to do a lot with how we build our infrastructure and how we take care of things. Like the wildfires that happen in California every year, a lot of the environmental policies that we need to do is like the controlled burns because they have weeds and stuff out there. And I used to live there. I know what it's like. It gets to 105, 110 degrees in the desert up over there by Big Bear. It's just something that you have to manage. We do need to get off of fossil fuels, but at the same time, I don't think it's going to happen by 2030, 2035, or 2050. I think it's definitely feasible to have a great deal of stuff lowered, but it's about managing things and preserving what we have at the same time, not losing what we have by making a sacrifice. They're talking about electric semi-trucks, and I don't think that's going to happen for several decades. And when they're talking about banning something without a solution, I think that's also a bad thing to do.
Okay, what do you think, Ron?
Climate change is a huge problem, and I had a question for you, but before the question, I mean, because I don't understand why, how could climate change be something political? I don't understand why most of the Republicans don't believe it, and the Democrats do. But before that question, the biggest culprit right now, yes, the United States has been country in terms of CO2 emissions for decades. But right now, India, I mean, the world is in trouble because India and China, too, by the way, but especially India, I think, if I remember right, they are producing the most or emitting the most CO2s into the ozone. And they're in a place now where the U.S. was a few decades ago. So, you know, for them, it's progress. And they see us as the world leaders, and they say, well, you've done it. Now it's our turn to do it, you know. So I think we're in trouble. And like I've said before, I think we've already kind of reached the point of no return. I don't think maintaining the status quo is going to change anything whatsoever, because Mother Nature is a force that humans have no control over. And once things start shifting and spiraling out of control, there is nothing that us little humans can do. But, Michael, why do you think it's political? Why do you think most Republicans don't believe it?
I think it's because a lot of these fossil fuel producers are in their pockets. I think they're buddies with – the Republicans are just buddies with the CEO of Exxon, CEO of Chevron. See, they're buddies with the big oil companies, and the people who don't want any climate change bills, they're funding the Republican Party. Let's just say that. So I think it's money. I think it's money, to answer your question in short form. It's money.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And that's a horrible thing that they're putting profits over people. That's just horrible.
Well, they're putting profits over themselves and their own families, too.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen, as you can hear, we only have like 90 seconds left, but I want to thank everyone for tuning in today and listening to us. We had technical issues, and we're doing the best we can doing this, but it's during those times when those kind of things happen. But we will be back next week on live here for The Man's Voice at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right. Anybody got anything they want to say before we get off? Okay.
Jeremiah, go Canes.
Let's see if we can.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, you're right. Go Canes, baby. What's your team?
Okay.
Hey, have a good day, everybody.
Bye.
Take care, everybody.
All right. We'll be back next week again. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you. Appreciate that.